It's great to be back with you again. How are you? Awesome. We are thrilled. We had a great time here. It was a short time that we were here. There's a long story behind that. As far as a house in the Fraser Valley, we couldn't sell, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, but we are thrilled to be back here with you. But we are actually in Montreal now. We just moved to Montreal about 6 months ago. And we have felt God's call to reach out to people who are the least reached within our own culture. And that isn't just Francophone, although that's a big part of it, but that's within cities, there's subcultures and people groups that I would call that have minimal gospel influence that we are wanting to reach out to. And so for this year, I'll let Chrissy kind of talk about what we're doing this year, first of all, to start off. Yeah, we also, at Christmas time, we invited a few of them over for Christmas because they had nowhere to go, and so we had them over for Christmas as well as some other students that didn't have anywhere to go, and we're really excited. Like, just so you know, we're in different classes because she's way above me in learning French, way smarter than me, and my class, I've got similar type of stories. Akram, he's a Muslim from Egypt, and he's going through some legal issues, so I've had chances to pray with him. I've got a girl that sits beside me. Her name is Aoife. She's into Wicca and tarot cards and all that, so we've been able to have some chats. So we are just excited that God is just putting all these people right in front of us, even before we're even starting our ministry. You know what I mean? Like, we're in training to learn French, and we already got all these people all around us already, and it's very exciting what we're doing. If you're interested in knowing more or being a part of our team, whether getting our newsletters or whatever, supporting, we do have these cards at the Welcome Center there, so help yourself to find that. We would love just to connect with you and just answer any questions, but we really, most of all, would ask that you would pray for us. We are looking for God to open up the doors and that we get a chance to share the gospel into so many lives that God is putting around us. And we are in the beautiful city of Montreal, which is fantastic, but also very not... If you've heard of Build 21, that's happening there, where no religious symbols are allowed by anybody, but anybody that works in the schools of the governments. And so they're very... The government right now has a very atheistic, humanistic stance on religion and stuff like that. So that's kind of the direction that we're going in. So we're kind of fighting against the current, but we're just loving on people, and I believe that's the best way to battle. You don't battle by fighting back, you battle by loving back. So that is what we're up to. So I'll let you sit down there, darling. We are, like I said, I'm so excited to be here and looking forward to what God wants to do. We were, you know, we sang so many wonderful songs today, and I have these scriptures on my phone just from a couple weeks ago about God's faithfulness. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. That's good news, isn't it? And in 1 John 1, it says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. He's faithful. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. That's so good, isn't it? I don't know about you, that makes me smile. That makes me happy. Because I know my own life, and I'm a failure most of the time. I mess up. I'm not with in the doing the proper things a lot of times in my life. And yet God is so faithful to me and allows his spirit to change my life and things to move on from there. So I just want to encourage us this morning to have expectancy that God is going to be faithful to us. And I don't know what you're dealing with in your life right now. I don't know what you're struggling with, what stresses are in your life. But I want you to know God is faithful. He promised never to leave you or forsake you. That's good news. He promised to forgive you. That's good news. He promised to love you and to care for you. That is good news. And so this morning, as we go through this, I just want you to remember God's faithfulness. So let me begin by curious. So we lived the last few years in Kelowna. Who here likes boats? Who likes boating? Yeah, a bunch of you. Some of you, no, Ryan, not into boating. Yeah, some people like boating. I'm kind of here and there. And you know why I'm kind of here and there and that? Because when I was young, I watched a movie, and it was called Jaws. Anybody seen that movie? Come on, remember that movie? Like, that scared me to death as a kid. I remember watching it. Like, I got so scared, I would go to our local swimming pool, not anywhere near the ocean, an indoor swimming pool. I would dive in, and then I would swim as fast as I could get out of that water, because you never know, there could be a shark in that swimming pool. You never know, right? Like, it scared me. And you know, and there's a line in that movie that just kind of reminds me of that. And it's like, it's the first time Jaws kind of shows up. The guy's chumming the water, and the shark kind of comes up, and he sees it, and he goes, "We're going to need a bigger boat." Like, it's a big shark we're dealing with here. And so when I think of this, the reason I'm going this route is because we're going to talk about a boat trip. And so that boat trip, if you know that story, didn't go too well. That boat didn't last. The story we're going to talk about, we see in the Bible, there's a few different stories that have to do with boating. There's the story of Jonah, right? We have, you know, he's storm, and he gets thrown overboard, and not a shark, but a big fish comes and swallows him and then spits him up later on, and that would have been a journey and a half. Then there's the story of Paul when he's on a trip and he's shipwrecked and goes to an island. And then there's the story that we're going to talk about today, and this is the story of Jesus with the disciples in the midst of the storm. So what I want you to do is we're just going to pray right now, and I want you to have a sense of expectation of what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. Lord, we just want to receive from you. Lord, whatever it is that you want to do in our hearts. Lord, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we know that you are with us and you will lead us through it. Amen. All right, you ready? Okay, if you have your Bibles or if you want to read along with me, I think it'll be on the screen as well. We're going to read through the text, which it's found in a few different places in the Bible, but we're going to read the one from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. So it says this: as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind them, although other boats did follow. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. What an amazing story. So let's start off with the very beginning. First of all, Jesus, he's with his disciples. He's called these disciples to follow him, right? They left everything. And so when he calls them, he says to them, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Seems like a pretty simple task, right? He had been their rabbi. They had left everything to follow him. And here he's asking them to follow him, and let's go to the other side of the lake. So being good disciples, they decide to follow him. Now, to follow somebody takes trust, right? You have to actually trust the person in order to follow them. You have to believe that they actually have you, you know, they care about you, they have you, your safety and your well-being in mind. You have to trust in their character. Are they somebody that you can trust? Are they trustworthy, right? There's different things about a person when you're following them, and that is that you have to trust them. In this story, so they're trusting him. They're saying, okay, we can travel from this part to that part. It seems like a simple task, but they had no idea what they were getting into. What you need to remember as we go through the story is these disciples were obediently following Jesus. And then we come to the next part of the story. There's a furious storm. Okay? So they are obediently following, and then there's an incredible storm as they get on their journey, and the disciples are all afraid. Even those who are well acquainted with the water and with the seas. There was four fishermen on the boat at that time. They knew how to control and how to navigate through the waters of a terrible sea. Have you ever been in a place where you're super afraid? Yeah, a few of you. Let me tell you a little story about Chrissy. One time, Chrissy was on a flight, and she was on this flight and traveling. So I was. This might have even been the Indonesia flight. Yeah, I think it was. I think I had stayed behind in Indonesia, and she was on her way home. It's all because of you. No. So she was on her way home with our kids, and they were on a flight, and they were traveling, and they were going to be flying into Tokyo. Well, the turbulence was absolutely terrible. And so Chrissy was near the front, and you know when the turbulence is terrible, they have the seatbelt signs on, so everybody puts their seatbelt on, including the stewardess and stewards of the, how do you call them? What's their name? Flight attendants, thank you. The flight attendants, right? They sit in their chairs. And sometimes, at the front, they're facing you. You know what I'm saying, right? So Chrissy is near the front, and there's this girl, one of the flight attendants, is facing her. And she has a death grip on her chair, and she has tears coming down her cheeks. You know what the flight attendant got a death grip on the chairs and got tears coming down her cheeks, there's something that's not going right, right? And it was a terrible flight. I'm glad I wasn't there, but I remember her telling me about it. Like, they had to do it a couple times around. In fact, they even came down, touched down, and then went back up. And it was just terrible, terrible weather. Eventually, when they landed, people had to be taken off. Like, literally, people had to come in. Medical people had to take people off. People were thrown up. It was a mess. It was a mess. You know, so when you think of being afraid of losing your life, that's the kind of situation you're in. This is the kind of situation the disciples are in, including the fishermen. They actually thought they were about to die. They thought this was it. This is over. So when you know a fisherman and you know he's afraid to die and you're on the boat with him, you know the situation's serious, right? Have you ever been in a situation in your life? Think about this story again. Where you've been obediently following Jesus, and things just aren't going right. In fact, sometimes things get worse. Ever been in a time like that? Come on, I can't be the only one. There's times where you're obediently following Jesus, and just all of a sudden, like, what's going on? Things are not working out together. And this is the situation that these disciples find themselves in. But what you have to understand is sometimes Jesus, following Jesus, leads us actually into a storm. A lot of times in Christianity, we have this false view of, oh, I come to Jesus and everything's good now. Hey, but it doesn't work that way. Following Jesus is not an easy path, but it definitely is the best path. So then we come to the next part of the story, which I find quite funny. So they're in this storm, terrible storm. Things are going bad. Fishermen there, and everybody thinks they're going to die. And what's going on is Jesus. He's in the back of the boat having a little nap. I just think that's hilarious because you're in the storm. You're about to die, or you think you're about to die, and your buddy's in the back going like, just having this nice, peaceful sleep in the back. And you're like, what is going on? What is wrong with you, right? It's so bad, they think they're going to die, and Jesus is peacefully sleeping in the back. Now, think about that for a second. If you are sleeping peacefully, or if someone's sleeping peacefully, that usually means they're okay. They don't have stress. They're not anxious about stuff. They think their life is okay. Now, in our case, that could be ignorance, but I think in Jesus' case, he was sleeping peacefully for a reason. So as we continue to go on, the disciples are beside themselves, and they don't see any hope, so they wake Jesus up, and they frantically ask him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They're confused why Jesus doesn't seem to be concerned at all. Why wasn't he doing anything? They had seen him do some pretty cool stuff previously. They were just following him along the way. Why aren't you doing anything? Anybody here a worrier? I know you. You guys are liars. I know some of you are worriers here, right? There's a story. There's a doctor, right? And he's standing over top of the patient, about to take him into surgery, and he says, "Don't worry, Dave. It's a small operation. It's going to be fine." And the patient laying there says, "Doctor, my name isn't Dave." And the doctor says, "Oh, I know that. My name is Dave." That's the time to be worried, yeah. Anyhow, here you have the disciples. They're afraid for their lives, and Jesus is just sleeping. So let me ask you some things. Have you ever been in a furious storm in life that made you afraid? Have you ever been in a place that seemed hopeless? Have you ever wondered why Jesus seemed to be sleeping on the job? Have you ever wondered if Jesus cared about your stormy situation? Have you ever cried out, "Lord, save me"? I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have been in a place at some point in our lives where we've asked some of those questions. "God, where are you? I need you now. Why is this happening? Why aren't you doing something?" Each of us has faced storms, and we will face storms, different types of storms. It might be health issues, financial shortage, relational conflict, marriage breakdowns, failures, addictions, sinful habits, low self-esteem, anxiety, emotional pain, physical pain, doubts, etc. Your storm may feel impossible to survive. Again, I don't know where each one of us is at today in our lives. Some of you are in the midst of a storm right now, in one area of your life maybe. And you're wondering, Jesus, where are you? Are you going to do anything, Jesus? I want to encourage you. There is hope. You see, Jesus has a plan. This is the beauty of this story, what I love. You see, Jesus had a plan for this boat. This wasn't just a boating trip to say, hey, let's go for a little trip and just kind of hang out on the water. It wasn't a joyride. If you read the rest of the story, the part after this, where were they going? They were going to the Gerasenes, and over there, there was a man who was filled with demons. And Jesus sets him free. And immediately they leave and they go back. You see, Jesus had a purpose. He was going somewhere. And when you're in the storm, what you have to understand is Jesus has taken you somewhere for a purpose. It's not just to go like, oh, I'm just going to take you into the storm and then leave you there. It's no. Jesus is at peace in this story because he knows where he's going and he's going to get there. And if you're following Jesus and you're in the midst of the storm, understand he's going somewhere and he's going to get there. That's good, eh? That's great. That's good news to know that Jesus is going somewhere. And as long as I'm following him, he's going to get where he wants to go. I love that part of the story because so often we stop at the end of the story, and it's a great story, but we forget Jesus has a purpose. Why was he sleeping peacefully in the storm? He knew the boat wasn't going to go down. He knew where he was going. And if you follow Jesus, now it doesn't mean every time things are going to work out nicely. Don't get that from this. But when you follow Jesus, know that he has a purpose of where he's going. And as long as you're with him, you're going to be in his path. I love that the line that we sang in one of the songs earlier where it talks about, your kingdom come, your will be done. Oh, that should be a prayer of ours every single day. Lord, wherever you're going, whatever the outcome is, your kingdom come, your will be done. I will follow you. And that's what the disciples here at this point were doing. So what happens next in the story here is quite amazing. In Mark 4, in Mark, it's Jesus says to the wind and the waves, quiet, be still. And the storm immediately stops. Like, can you imagine being in that boat at that time? What a crazy moment that would be, eh? Like, you're in the storm, oh, we're going to die, son. Jesus, wake up, Jesus. Oh, okay, hey, quiet, be still, boom. What just happened? What is going on here, right? The disciples had seen Jesus do miraculous things before. They'd seen him heal people. They had seen him provide food and different things. But this miracle took it kind of to the next level. Like, this wasn't just some, hey, one person I'm dealing with. This is the weather, right? One moment, they thought they were about to die in the storm, and then the next moment, at the words of Jesus, the weather is peaceful. And the disciples were there to witness it. What an amazing story. And what we have to understand is as it goes on, this teaches the disciples an amazing lesson because what happens next is Jesus calms the storm and then he turns to the disciples. He says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, why were they afraid? That's pretty obvious because they were in the midst of a deadly storm, you know. But wait, that wasn't the full picture. Yes, the disciples were in the midst of a terrible storm, but here's the key point. Who was in their boat? Who was in their boat? Jesus, God incarnate, was in the boat with them. The one who created the weather patterns, the one who is sovereign over all his creation. Oh, we can say, but he was sleeping. Yes, but he was sleeping peacefully. Maybe there was a reason he was sleeping peacefully, because he knew what he was doing. Here is what the disciples' problem was, and oftentimes my problem and probably yours as well. The disciples didn't recognize who really was in the boat with them. They knew he was a wise teacher. They knew he was a rabbi. They knew he could do miracles, but they didn't understand the immensity of the person who was in their boat with them. And this is what I want to really share again with you. I don't know what the situations you may be going through right now, but if Jesus is in your boat, you have to understand and try to pick up as much as you can what that means, how big of a story that is. It doesn't matter if he's sleeping. Either he's in control of it all, or we need to find someone else to follow, right? So Jesus asks us the same thing he asked his disciples. Where is your faith? They had faith, but it was way too small. And the disciples were shocked. It says in Mark, it says, the disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They didn't recognize who was in the boat. They asked each other, even the wind and the waves obey him. In Luke, it says this. It says, in fear and amazement, they asked, who is this man? The miracle amazed them because, wow, he can control the weather. And it also terrified them because, wow, he can control the weather. Like this guy who's in their boat, it blew their socks off at this moment. And I think for me, this is the key for me. I know I follow Jesus, and I don't know where you're at. And if you don't follow Jesus, I want you to know it's a trip. It's a great trip. But I know I follow him, but I make him a nice manageable size for myself to kind of understand and control. But he blows my boxes away. He's way bigger. The disciples knew Jesus. They knew he was in the boat with them. They believed he was a great teacher, but their view of him wasn't complete. So the questions I ask is this: who is in your boat today? Do you recognize him? Do you understand who he is? Do you understand that he loves you? Do you understand he has power to change situations? Do you understand who he is? A few of the things that we went through, right? Jesus calls us to follow him. So I'm asking, are you following him? Following Jesus is the best life ever. It's not always safe, but it's really good. Anybody ever read the story or see the movie Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? There's a great line in there where in the story, if you don't know it, there's talking animals. So there's these two beavers with this little girl, and now that was in the book. In the movie, it was a little different. But in the book, there's two beavers with Lucy, the little girl, and Lucy they're talking about Aslan, this huge lion who is representative of Jesus in the story, and she asked the beavers, "Oh, Aslan, he's a big lion and he's got those teeth and all. Is he safe?" And the beavers say, "Oh no, he's not safe, but he is good." That's a great line. Following Jesus isn't always going to be safe, just so you know. But he is good, and he loves you, and he has plans for you. So if you follow him, understand that. Then there are times that we feel like, that we're in the midst of the storms of life. It's rough, makes you feel sick, scares you, you don't know what to do. And some of us might be in the midst of those storms right now. Maybe you can even feel like the waves are crashing in around you. But again, I ask the question, who is in your boat? Are you alone in the boat? Are you trying to do it all on your own? Or is Jesus in the boat? Do you recognize him? Do you trust him? The key for us is when we're in the middle of the storm is knowing that God is with us. He promised, going back to that song, faithfulness, right? God promised. What was one of his promises? Yes and amen. I will never leave you or forsake you. He is with us in the boat. In Psalm 23, it says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's a pretty dark place, right? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So good. If you understand who's in your boat, it makes all the difference. Next question, do you see Jesus for who he really is? Are you amazed and maybe even a bit terrified at his power and his glory? Or have we made him a nice, manageable size? Oh, he's nice, he's wise, he's kind, maybe uninvolved. We need to see him for greater than our imagination can contain. The point of the story, I don't believe, was for Jesus to stop the storm. He did stop the storm, but I don't think that's the point of the story. I think the point of the story goes back to Jesus had a purpose. Remember I talked to you about he was going over to the Gerasenes, right, to see a man set free from demons? Now, I don't know about you, but if I was all of a sudden taken from a place and thrown in front of a man who was filled with demons, who could break chains and was violent and was, you know, not in his right mind, that might be a bit of a fearful thing, correct? It might be a bit of a fearful thing. However, if you're with somebody who can control the weather, and you just experienced this incredible thing just happen, he just stopped the weather, going with him to this guy who's full of demons, I don't think it's quite as scary of a moment. Maybe it was a teaching moment for them to learn to have faith. Have you ever wondered about that? When you're in the midst of the storm, maybe that's a great teaching moment for us to learn who he is so we can have faith, not in my own strength, but in his strength. He may lead you into the storm, but he'll also lead you through the storm. Last thing I want to say is just let's learn to call out on him, bring our request to him, put our trust in him. He asks us, as he asked the disciples, where's your faith? Do we really trust Jesus? The storm around us may not calm down, but within our soul, there can be peace because Jesus is with us.